Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another edition of Focus on the Community. Frank Rush being joined this week by Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. How about you?
Not bad. Yeah. Well, 2019, off and roll. First of all, how was 2018? Do you consider 2018 a win for Terre Haute?
Very successful year. You know, it really was from a variety of reasons. You know, we got a lot of road projects, especially Margaret Avenue, the overpass done.
Got that done just inside the 2018 year.
We did. You know, they worked hard. I mean, they don't have to have it done till July. That's what the NDOT contract calls for. But the weather cooperated and got that done. But that's a huge win for the community overall. But just a lot of things started trending in the right way. And we got several grants from the state last year that we've never been in a position to get before. Our finances improved dramatically last year. So just a lot of things positioned us well, really, to move into 19.
I will give you a second to go ahead and blow your own horn. You said to me in previous interviews 2 years ago, this will work out.
Mm-hmm.
This will work out. There were a whole lot of people in the city council and a lot of people who weren't in the city council and some people in media that express opinions that pretty much called you everything but a liar.
Pretty much.
And in some cases did call you that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take 30 seconds here to tell them that,
well, you know, I'm always a professional when it comes to this, and I get the politics of things, but then there's a reality side that, you know, there are some people that hope we failed. They wanted me to fail. So then, you know, they could make a change in the mayor's position. What this is all about is, you know, the tax caps were end up being a lot worse on communities like Terre Haute than what Mitch Daniels and others, when he was governor and legislature at the time, thought it was going to be. Fine. Everybody voted it in, and we needed to survive that. Well, our assessed values weren't going up, and a lot of other communities across Indiana, their assessed values went up, so at least they weren't losing as much as we were losing. We lost $106 million through 2018 of money we should have collected, but because of the tax caps, we didn't.
And for real quick, I'll just interrupt and just say, you know, a lot of people maybe didn't think or don't understand the property values went down. We were losing population. We still are, really. The city is shrinking, not really growing.
Well, the recession hit, too, during this time frame.
And on top of that, so, I mean, we had a lot of, we had a lot of things going against
negative
us.
Factors. Yeah. And you know, that's just reality. That stuff comes and goes, and everything goes through cycles. But my point was, I put a plan together, and I said, if we follow this plan, we'll get out of this. But we got to be patient, because it wasn't like each year we were losing more money than what we were told we were going to lose. So last year we lost $13 million to property tax caps, but we've balanced the budget with that. You know, it just took us a few years to get there. So 2015 was our worst year. 16 kind of leveled off. 17 was good. 18 was even better. 19 is going to be even better than that. We've solved the financial woes. It's just that it's just interesting how it's kind of that negativity sometimes. People overreact to things and they want to see somebody fail. And it's unfortunate. And that's where a lot of that noise came from.
All right. 2019 is ahead. We just finished one overpass. We just found out we're going to get another one.
Yeah.
Surprise.
I could not believe, really. First of all, I didn't know until earlier this year or last year. This is 19 already. Early in 18, we heard the governor was going to put some kind of a program together because there's a lot of railroad issues. Indiana's right in the middle of the railroad business across the United States.
We know that we have our fair share of trains.
No doubt.
Have had for years.
And so there's lots of issues like Terre Haute has in other communities in Indiana. So he put $350 million, that was what they started with, to help some communities out because they know these are big, expensive projects. And so we put in for it. We weren't really ready for the next one because we haven't designed it yet. We had some preliminary ideas of what we were going to do, but when we got approved for that funding, it was phenomenal because it would have taken another 10, 12 years to be able to save up $17 million like we did for Margaret Avenue.
Right.
It took about 10 and a half years to get there. And so this is going to be much accelerated. Design will happen in 19, construction will start in 20. We don't know exactly what's going to look like yet because it hasn't been fully designed, but soon NDOT will be contacting us and we'll get the design done this year.
As we talk about overpasses, I have heard a few people that if they'd have probably listened in the beginning, they'd have known this, but a lot of people said, well, how come Margaret, the overpass isn't four lane? How come it's only two?
Yeah. And I've had people say, well, it's always supposed to have been four lane. It's never. That's not true.
They look at what's going on west of that area, and they're seeing four lane there.
And that's where the traffic and the growth is kind of between that 3rd Street and that 14th Canal Road area to get to 641 and the industrial corridor there in the center of the city. But from there on out, yes, traffic has increased a bit, but it's not, doesn't require four lanes. We could have built four lanes for the overpass. It would have been an additional $4 million to do that right now in current dollars. But we would have lost some of our funding because I didn't have $4 million just sitting in a bank to say, okay, well, here's an extra $4 million, go do it now. We believe that in about 50 years, it may need four lanes. If traffic increases based on some population growth, additional growth out on 46, but it's way down the road. And so we went ahead and bought the property. We designed the four lanes for the overpass. And it'll be ready to go for whoever the mayor is at that time frame. They'll just be able just to go and bid it out and make that happen. It's going to be three lanes from the top of the overpass to 25th Street, and then it'll be two lanes from 25th all the way out to 46.
Okay. As far as 2019 ahead in the future, what have we got coming up this year that you really want to think that we need to be looking at?
I think, Lafayette Avenue, that project will get bid out this year. I don't know when construction will start. It'll depend on when NDOT bids it, but that's that section from Fort Harrison all the way to Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. We'll be turning that into three lanes with sidewalk up there, drainage, and take care of all the issues that's through that stretch. That's a huge project, about a $6 million project. We've got two additional projects in our long-term control plan that we're doing, be about $62 million worth of work to continue to capture and treat water that can't go into the river.
Right.
We keep fighting the battles of the EPA and IDEM, but we're on schedule with that. The funding is in place. We don't have to raise sewer rates for that or anything like that, so we'll continue to work on those projects. They'll start this year. We're going to be doing a lot of paving, just general paving. Now that we kind of got that overpass out of the way, yes, we have another one coming in 20, but here in 19, you're going to see us doing just a lot of paving, street maintenance kind of activities. And so those are kind of the big projects in front of us other than the police station. We've got our financing. We're finishing the touches on that. We'll be bringing that public soon. It'll be paid for with the downtown TIF money. It's all worked out great. So we'll get construction started on the police station this year. That's another big project.
Since you brought that up, mm-hmm. I'll take like maybe a minute or two, because you still hear the whole jail thing is still, everybody keeps, and a lot of people keep saying the same thing over and over and over, even after we get answers. Why can't we build the city police and the sheriff's department together?
Yeah, and I don't understand really what drives that. Some people think it would save us a lot of money if you put them all in the same building.
They're probably looking at scale, cost of scale, and that kind of thing.
Sure.
So and they also look at Indianapolis. They see UniGov, and they see the sheriff and the city police up there, and they maybe don't understand how it all works, but they see that, and so they're wondering,
maybe,
isn't there savings to be had?
So there's a couple thoughts there. One is UniGov. We can't do UniGov in Vigo County because the legislature would have to approve it. We can't just do that on our own.
Okay.
We're not allowed to do that. It's not working very well in Indianapolis. If you go over there, you'll see
they've had their problems.
They're beginning
over the
to
years.
Split apart on the police, and they still wear brown uniforms and blue uniforms, and
it's not as
cohesive as everybody thinks it is. Yes, they're going to build a new government complex over there, but they need a new jail and all that, and so that's happening. But they're still going to have two distinct departments. Here in Terre Haute, we need to serve the city of Terre Haute. That's the county, obviously, serves the entire part of the county. Our police station is centrally located right now in the middle of the population of the city of Terre Haute. 13th Wabash is the center of the population of the city. Moving it out on the fringes somewhere makes no sense for us to serve the citizens of Terre Haute. You'd have to save millions of dollars to make that, where you'd have to say, does that make a business case or not? I've never been able to, I've gone through all different kinds, talk to people, talk to consultants, talk to the police department, the sheriff's department, and they're like, well, maybe it'd be nice. You could share a training room or something. But it's not enough to make it worth us having to be on the fringe or on the outskirts of the city of Terre Haute. So there's just not enough savings there. We need a 30,000 square foot building. They need the size of jail and sheriff's department they need. Their department's not nearly as big as ours is, but the jail is huge. And so that's kind of their thing. They need a complex that will support the sheriff's department, the jail, and probably some mental health and addiction services. And adding a police station in there in the parking lot we need will make that property be required to be much bigger for future growth. And it just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any business sense. It may sound good to the theory, but I've spent probably 2 years now willing to participate in that, but nothing has risen to the top to say, it's really dumb to build it at 13th and Wabash. You need to build it out, you know, along the river or down in the industrial park. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
One of the other projects that's well on the way, the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we kind of know now where that's going to go and,
yep.
and the footprint where that's going to be.
Yep. And so that's a good thing. You know, I still have people asking me, well, really, are conventions going to come to Terre Haute? And I understand that if you don't run in those circles. But you can talk to David Patterson at the Convention Tourism Bureau. He gets calls all the time saying, if we wanted to bring a convention to Terre Haute of 200 people, can we get them all in the same hotel? Can they be in the same meeting rooms? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. And so we turn those away all the time. There are all kinds of groups just within Indiana that rotate around city to city. They never come to Terre Haute. Some used to go to the Holiday Inn, but then right. when the Holiday Inn got rid of their space, they left. And so we're going to bring those conventions back to Terre Haute. This is going to be a really good economic boost for us to bring people to Terre Haute.
We're not going to get a next president nominated at a convention in Terre Haute.
No, we're not even competing with Indianapolis from that perspective.
Yeah,
you know, that's not our goal.
But we're looking at smaller groups. And of course, we have to have the hotels to go along with it. And
you
that's kind of on the planning stages too, right?
And yeah, there'll be three hotels there total then. There'll be one new one added to the two that are there. And so all be connected, if you will, or across the street from each other. And that will get you where you need to be, because that's the first question they ask. We want the hotels to be walking distance or connected to
Nobody wants
the convention
to walk.
Center. Nobody does. And so all these other communities that are doing convention centers are doing it the same way, and they're all being successful with them. And so we will be successful in Terre Haute.
Are we running the risk of making downtown Terre Haute a bottleneck that we can't get through because this convention center is going to close down 8th Street? We've already got ISU has closed off a bunch of through streets.
Mm-hmm.
Union Hospital closed down 7th Street. We're closing a lot of streets. So to play devil's advocate, are we bottlenecking ourselves downtown?
No, and we just had a new traffic study done based on this convention center and what the traffic would look like. And it won't. Yeah, traffic will increase. There's no question when people are coming to conventions. Well, usually they park then and don't go anywhere until they leave.
Right.
But you will have those times where it'll get busier than it is today. But there, you know, there's some consideration to turn a couple of the one-way streets into two-way streets. We'll see how that plays out. But we'll continue to look at ways to get people in and out of downtown. I'm not concerned about that right now. And the traffic study shows us that we shouldn't have major concerns. But yes, there will be an increase in traffic.
As we record this just a couple of days before it airs, the state legislature is getting together and starting on a whole lot of things like they do every day. They got the budget. Mm-hmm. They've got education funding. But there's also the one thing that nobody's really mentioned on a state news level because it only matters to us here in Terre Haute and Vigo County. What's the prospects of the casino? Everybody's been talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some folks that want to spend some money and possibly bring a license here. What do you think?
Well, I think it would be a good thing for our community. We supported that concept, you know, over the last few years when there was some discussion in the legislature about moving some excess licenses to mm-hmm. Terre Haute. This is a whole different conversation now, though, to actually take a license that is somewhere else. It's going to move out of Gary. It is leaving Gary. Where's it going to go is the question. Terre Haute, back in the very beginning of casinos, we were supposed to have received one. I mean, we were kind of on that list of, you know, when they dotted around, hit the, you know, border communities, it just never happened for a variety of reasons. So Terre Haute's always been on the radar. It's just there hasn't been any expansion of gaming. And so other than French Lick was the only thing that that final license went down there.
Right.
And the state actually owns that one. That's a different bird. So here you got a situation where they're going to move a license from a community up north to somewhere else in Indiana. And it's a very logical place to put it because Terre Haute's probably the most underserved area from the casino gaming other than Fort Wayne of anybody else.
Fort Wayne's also the second largest city in the state, too, and we're a lot further away from that.
They are, but I only say that because there's been, you know, talk about up there, but I don't think they really want one. And the new South Bend Casino, the Indian Casino, I think kind of taps into that market a bit. So we're 2 hours from any casino here in Terre Haute. And so when you look at those kind of maps, when you do that economic research, a lot of people from Illinois would come over here. People from Indianapolis would come to Terrell. So it really is the center of an unserved area.
So how do you think it's going to play in the state house?
I think it has a good chance of happening, but we'll see. You know, the legislature is the legislature. It only takes a few people to, you know, to say no. And, you know, I just think it's a good fight for us because it's going to go somewhere. Why not Terre Haute?
Yeah, because, I mean, we haven't really gotten anything else. And that might even help to, do you think, maybe justify the convention center downtown because it gives people something to do when they come
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. It all ties together. I think it'll help Holman Links Golf Course, too, because that's another connection with the casino. So we may be able to solve a bit of a budget deficit out there with that, too. When the last, you know, casino group wanted to come in and do that, it was going to be taken care of. They were going to rent that out and use it, to, you know, to offer golf to their gamblers. And there's just a lot of benefits that come along with something like that.
And real quick, since you brought that up, I'll take the last 30 seconds or so. Holman Links, Ray Park. They've been a little bit of a pain in the city budget. Mm-hmm. Are we doing better?
Yes, we are doing better. I don't have the final numbers on 18 yet, but yes. And we cut their budgets significantly coming into the next year. We just need more golfers. And that, the problem is people are not golfing right now. That's just not younger people. When Tiger Woods was hot, golfing was hot.
Yeah.
And ever since he kind of began to fade from the scene,
he had a problem. Yeah.
And so it just that energy, the younger kids weren't doing it. And so
what about
we need golfers.
But what about the idea that you'd brought up before, and I know it was looked at, and we got proposals about having somebody else come in and basically rent the golf courses from the city and run it and pay us.
And we've not thrown that idea away, but the model's changed a bit now. It's much better. So we'll revisit that again. But they all want some kind of amount of money guarantee from the city, which then locks you in. You know you're not going to lose X number of dollars. You're only going to spend this much.
Everybody wants a guarantee they're not going to lose money.
Right. But that's the way that industry works, and I get that. But we've got it down to it's less than that, what our loss is now, of what they wanted in that last round. So I think we'll revisit that again and see if our numbers are even better this time around. We'll see. But if we can make them, my goal is break even. If we can get them to break even, I'm fine with it. There's no reason to outsource them.
Terry Mayor Duke Bennett, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, before 2019's over and done with. Thanks, that's Frank. It for this week's Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-420. 2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.